Gospel according to Mark, chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Jesus entered the synagogue. There was a man there who had a withered hand. They watched Jesus closely to see if he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up here before us." Then he said to the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it?" But they remained silent. Looking around at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart, Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately took counsel with the Herodians against him to put him to death. And so the Gospel of the Lord. The story of David and Goliath in the first book of Samuel is not only a fascinating religious story, but provides us with one of the great moments in all of literature. The companion Gospel story of Jesus healing the man with the withered hand before a silent group of religious leaders who exude hatred and skepticism gives further focus to the theme that the humble and downtrodden, the neglected, will have their day, and that they are dear to God. In the face of such wonderful stories, the task of the preacher is one of getting out of the way, so that the full force of the story's energy can find expression in the ongoing prayers of the listener. I love a good mystery story, and often will choose one for my recreational reading. Sometimes the story is so strong and true to life that it becomes more important than all the other kinds of readings and studying that I do. I once asked myself what I like best in such stories. Well, I appreciate surprises as long as they're plausible and true to life. But as I think about it, I really like those moments that are like the stories we're considering today, when the downtrodden are vindicated, and when those who are too confident and abusive in their power are brought up short. The battle scene with David and Goliath is all too clear. Some of the church fathers make much of the fact that David chose a simple weapon suited to his youth and level of skill. However, the brief encounter in the Gospel where the man with the withered hand is healed is not so clear as its matching story in today's liturgy. You could ask some questions about exactly what the law is about healing on the Sabbath. Healing is not mentioned in one list of 39 activities that would break the Sabbath. People could customarily give medicine, and one rabbi, Mattiah, held that when a life was threatened, this would certainly override the law. The apocalyptic gospel of the Hebrews tells the same story as the gospel of Mark, but in it, the man with the withered hand is a stonemason. And so, in this version, the healing would restore his means of livelihood. And yet, I think what's most remarkable about this story and sets it apart is that Jesus looked around at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart. Jesus is really fed up with human perversity and tells the man to raise up his hand, and he's healed. The raising up echoes the rising from the dead and the raising up of the sick and healing in other healing episodes. Jesus is very impatient with the religious authorities who would try to trap him with a technicality and greet his efforts with scornful silence. The story convicts those who are technically good, but utterly without compassion. Here we're asking, what really is the right thing to do? The synagogue officials make an easy target. One commentator points out how all of us are set on the defensive when God is spoken of in new ways and traditional religious practices are questioned. We're challenged to enter the present moment and realize the full needs of the poor, the sick, or so often the mentally ill. And rather than dismiss them and refer them to an agency, We need to be respectfully present to them, even if we cannot solve their problems. With prayer, courage, and a little imagination, we may just find a way into the unmerited and unexpected generosity of our God. And as our habitual practices are questioned and begin to evolve, we'll not be too surprised to discover that our practical vision of God has expanded, and we're astonished that God should appear in such a generous fashion, in such an impossible situation, and even provide a solution. In preaching, it's good to get out of the way so the full story can be heard. In our living response to the gospel, we'll also find times in which our ego, getting out of the way, will open our souls to a whole new and more generous experience of God's healing and creative love.